Good morning. My name is Jeremy Africa. I'm the lead pastor here at Midland First United Methodist Church. Whether you're with us in our sanctuary or joining us on the church's live stream, we welcome you to our time of worship this morning. We have an exciting worship service today with the Ellingwood and Zimus children being baptized with four generations of their family with us here this morning. So excited to share in their baptisms and also excited to welcome a guest preacher this morning. And also, if you'll check your date, you might recognize what week it is here in Midland. It is fantastic. Yes, this coming week is Neighboring Week. It's organized by the Midland Neighboring Committee, which is co-chaired by one of our members, Michelle Barr, and also Kathy Snyder. Neighboring Week aims to foster a sense of belonging for all through intentional acts of kindness and community activities planned throughout the week. And so to this end, on your way out, you will be greeted with an opportunity to pick up a small bag of treats. We're calling them neighboring treats. You might take this bag as a reminder of Neighboring Week. You might share it with a neighbor you already know. You might express to them that you appreciate them being your neighbor, or you might be a little bit adventurous. Knock on the door of a neighbor you don't know and welcome them, or you might do even more. So hopefully you'll pick up one of those neighboring treats on the way out. And while in worship, we will also be embracing the spirit of Neighboring Week. Preaching today will be the Reverend Dr. Wallace Smeaton III. You might otherwise know him as Wally, but I'll refer to him as Dr. Smeaton here this morning. Many have embraced Dr. Smeaton as their neighbor here in Midland, with Dr. Smeaton having served Memorial Presbyterian Church for 33 years before his retirement in 2022. Today, Dr. Smeaton III continues to serve Memorial Presbyterian as their parish associate. Given his neighborly presence among us and having initiated Neighboring Week here in Midland with Mayor Maureen Donker in 2011, I thought it would be fitting to invite Dr. Smeaton to fill the pulpit on this day. And so will you please join me in welcoming Dr. Smeaton in worship here this morning? Wally, we're excited to have you here and welcome you during this time of worship. So with all of this, I'll draw your attention to our weekly e-blast, the weekly email that's sent from the church office with all the church's activities and announcements. If you aren't yet receiving those, encourage you to contact the church office. I invite you to remain standing as you are able and to join us in our opening hymn, Take My Life and Let It Be. You can find this on page 399 of the hymnal or on the screen in front of you.
Thank you.
You may be seated. Friends, as we gather for worship this morning, we have three baptisms to celebrate and to share as a church today. The sacrament of baptism is a gift that God has given us through Jesus Christ to experience the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, to be welcomed into the church, to be reminded of all that we share as a church. I'm going to invite you to turn to page 12 in your hymnals that you might follow along in our liturgy. Also, your responses will be on the screen in front of you. Indeed, it is with great joy that we welcome these children into the church with their parents, their mothers having been raised here at the church. And so we celebrate this sacrament and sacred moment today. Brothers and sisters in Christ, it's through the sacrament of baptism that we are initiated into Christ's holy church, that we are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation, and we're given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift, offered to us without price.
I present Peter, Beau, and Tony for baptism.
Thank you. And so now to the parents, to Peter and to Riley and to Jordan and to Mason, I'm going to ask you these vows, vows that have been spoken over the centuries regarding baptism on behalf of the church. I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness? Do you reject the evil powers of this world? And do you repent of your sin? If so, please respond, I do. And do you accept the freedom and power that God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, please respond, I do. And do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you put your whole trust in His grace and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? If so, please respond, I do. And will you nurture your children? Will you nurture Peter? Will you nurture Beau and Tony in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, they may be guided to accept God's grace for themselves, to profess their faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If so, please respond, I will. Thank you. Pastor Bethany?
Do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? We do. Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and include Peter, Beau, and Tony now before you in your care?
With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround these persons with a community of love and forgiveness that they may grow in their service to others. We will pray for them that they may be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life.
Let us join together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, He rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit,
the Holy Catholic Church,
the communion of saints,
the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body,
and the life everlasting.
Let us pray.
Lord, we give you thanks for your work in the world. We give you thanks for the ways that you have used water to be a means of grace. And Lord, we pray over this water that you would bless it in those who are baptized today. May you continue to be at work in their lives, that they may proclaim you as Lord and Savior. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
It looks to me like you have a wonderful family, right? They're all here today. But if you look out, and if your cousin Bo looks out, and your cousin Tony looks out, this is another wonderful family that you are joining today. That's going to pray for you and nurture you and your cousins so you can grow up and love Jesus just like your mom and your dad and your family. So what name have you given your child? Peter, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit work within you, that being born of water and the Spirit, you might be found faithful, be found to be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. I think you caught every word of that. All right, Bo. You see your cousin? We can do that, right? Okay. All right. Bo, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. May the Holy Spirit work within you that you may be found to be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Wow, that was wonderful. All right. Tony, you want to come forward with your mom?
Miss Tony, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now it is our joy to welcome our new sister and brothers in Christ. Through baptism, you are incorporated by the Holy Spirit into God's new creation, and you are made to share in Christ's royal priesthood. We are all one in Christ Jesus. With thanksgiving, we welcome you as members of the family of Christ. Thanks to all that's already given. I welcome you in Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. Our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness.
Everything
God may be glorified. Through Jesus Christ.
Indeed, it is our joy to welcome Peter, Bo, and Tony into the family of God, and we want them to remember this day. And so, Tony, along with your cousins, we have a blanket and a certificate that you can remember your baptism. Yes. And Bo, here is yours. And Peter. Can we welcome them into God's family and into the church? I'm going to invite you to have your seats if you wish. And with this, we'll invite our children forward for our children's blessings.
Good morning, children. This week, Midland is celebrating Neighboring Week. I'm going to give you a little bit of English lesson. In a noun, a person living next, near or next door. The verb is to be next to or very near. But Jesus made it clear that our neighbor is anyone around us, regardless of their ethnic, religious, or socioeconomic status. Some of our neighbors live next door, some live in different states, some live in different countries. We are called to be neighbors to those in need with whom we cross paths with, whenever it is within our means. In Leviticus, it tells us to love your neighbor as yourself, to treat everyone with compassion, kindness, and a readiness to help in their need, regardless of their background. And just as a little bit of a joke for the people who are sitting in the pews, I found a cute little thing. Be kind to your neighbor because you never know when you're going to need to borrow something from them. So when you leave for Sunday school, we have several different Neighboring Week coloring sheets, and I'm going to send those off to Sunday school with you guys so that you can have an activity during Sunday school. Okay, can we say a quick prayer? Dear God, we thank you for the baptism today, which always brings me to tears, and the joy of having all of you children here worshiping your Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Yeah, if you can take a...
strong and love.
And now we come to a time of offering. As the ushers are coming forward, I invite you to sign the red friendship pads at the end of your pew and to pass them down so that you know who you're sitting with. We love to get to know our neighbors. We love to get to know who's here. And I also invite you to reflect on the ways that God has blessed you in this week or at any time. I just invite you to reflect on his love for you.
Oh, humble carpenter, down on your hands and your knees. Look on your handiwork and build a house so you may dwell. Nothing but heart, wood and nails in your scarred-born hands. Oh, show me how to work and praise, trusting that I am your instrument. On your face. Oh, build a table that I too may join you in the Father's place. Oh, in the Father's place. With nothing but heart, wood and nails in your scarred-born hands. Oh, show me how to work and praise, trusting that I am your instrument. Send me out within your ways, knowing that the task is finished. finished, the dead will rise and give you praise. Wood and nails will not hold them down. These wooden tombs will break them soon and fashion them into is done, the battle won, swords bent down into plowshares, your scarred-born hands will join with them, serving at the table you've prepared. Brothers and sisters, I invite you to stand for our doxology today.
Indeed, Heavenly Father, indeed, we do give you praise for all that you are and all that you do. We thank you for these gifts that you've given to us that we can give back to you, and we ask that you would use them to further your kingdom in all the ways that you see fit to your highest honor and glory. We pray all this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You may be seated. So before I read our scriptures for this morning, I thought I'd provide a little bit more context about our invitation to Dr. Mayton this morning. As you might know, as a congregation, I arrived here just over a year ago as the lead pastor, and as I was getting situated, I received an email from one of our members inviting me to lunch with Dr. Mayton. And I will be forthright and honest with you this morning that the invitation set me back a little bit. I was a little bit nervous in taking that invitation in that I recognized Dr. Mayton's name from when I was previously here 14 years ago as an associate pastor. And so I said, my gosh, you know, we're hitting the ground running. We're meeting one of the pillars, I believe, of our congregation. And so a little bit nervous to have lunch with Dr. Mayton and our church member at that time. Sat down at the table, and what I experienced over lunch was one of the warmest welcomes that I have received as a pastor into the community. And you might say, well, certainly that will be the case, being that it's lunch with one of our members, and I was very appreciative of that welcome I received from our church member. But I was also genuinely appreciative of the welcome that Wally had extended to me. And you might say, well, that's a professional requirement of a pastor to be welcoming. But the fact of the matter is, there are some pastors who extend that hospitality and who extend that welcome because that is who they are and who they have allowed God to shape them to be. And so it is with great joy that we're welcoming Dr. Maton to fill the pulpit on this Neighboring Week Sunday. Our scripture readings this morning come one from the Old Testament, the second from the New. I'll be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. Our first scripture reading comes from Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, "Go at once to Nineveh, the great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness had come up before me." But Jonah set out to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid his fare and went on aboard to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. Our second scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. Just then, a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite who came to the place and saw him and passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, "Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend." Which of these do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Amen. I am so grateful to be here, and what a warm welcome I'm receiving. And I have to reply to Reverend Africa's affirmation by saying it is easy to welcome someone as a potential friend and colleague, and he has fulfilled all those requirements of being a friend and a colleague, as well as a very, very faithful person of God, filled with the Holy Spirit and intended to be the pastor for this congregation, so full of Christ's love. I celebrate the fact that we have 3 baptisms today, and so it doesn't matter what I preach or say and how poor my message might be, because you're going to go out smiling, thinking of the babies and the children and the gift of life that's among us. Well done, Jeremy, well done. I also want to praise this congregation in celebration of the 75th anniversary you experienced last Sunday in the gathering of former pastors as well as present staff and pastors in the celebration of the mission and vision of this congregation. Truly, you are good neighbors. I remember coming into this community and been here a while, and when approached by the initiative called The Art of Neighboring, I thought, who else can I bring into the fold from a faith community standpoint? And I think it was the first call I made was to your senior pastor at that time, J.D. John Landis. And he agreed that it was something that we as congregations, Memorial and First United Methodist, could do together. And from that grew several initiatives on our part to provide ministry to neighbors in the reconstruction and remodeling of homes and in other pursuits that we enjoyed. So really, this congregation helped plant the seeds for what we celebrate today, and you continue to provide harvest through the gift of such leaders as Michelle Barr, who truly is inspiring not only in her words, but also in the way she lives and practices the art of neighboring. The art of neighboring is very simple. It comes from an inspired Christian faith standpoint where we learn each other's names, we learn about each other, our interests, our needs, our thanksgivings, and then we create community with one another, a community of caring and compassion. And so it's a very simple kind of process that follows in this great the line of this great commandment that Jesus has given to us to love God fully and to love neighbor. We are also celebrating today the gift of love that God provides us in a world very troubled and very filled with violence and reluctance. And the question I wanted to ask all of you in the reading, faithful reading of the scripture this morning was, which one of these, is it Jonah or is it the Good Samaritan in the parable Jesus offers, who is the reluctant neighbor? I think you already probably have an answer if you listen or you are familiar with those two passages of scripture, but it is the question that I think we all want to answer as we find our place in God's scheme, in God's intention, in God's purpose to love neighbor as self. I invite you into prayer with me. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. It seems like a very simple choice between Jonah and the Good Samaritan when we talk about where do we see reluctance being practiced. And I have to admit to you that in the world in which we live, it is difficult. We want to proclaim with the psalmist every day that this is a day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. And truly, in the celebration of the baptisms and our worship together as a community of God's people, we are celebrating and affirming that this is the day. But we also know what God requires, and it is to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly, putting others before ourselves. And that's not always easy. I think that's where reluctance comes in, when we are asked to meet God's requirement of practicing neighboring love among those that are not very likable. And that is a question that was posed to us from the very beginning of talking about neighboring. But I'm reluctant to approach this neighbor and that neighbor. And perhaps not every neighbor is to our calling as we look to provide the proclamation of God's love in Jesus Christ to others. But it is important for us to read these two passages and I think put them together. The story of Jonah is one of my favorite in the scripture. It's a short story. If you have time and opportunity, read the whole story. It only takes a few minutes, and you're familiar with it. And most of us are familiar, especially with the part where Jonah is swallowed by a great fish. They would call it a whale because it is a great fish, and he's in the belly of that whale. Well, there's more to the story than just that. We have the beginning that was read today in the scriptural text, in which Jonah makes a decision. He makes a choice. He is the reluctant prophet, okay? Because God asks him to go to the city of Nineveh and to proclaim the gift of God's saving love to a people that Jonah doesn't like. And he comes by that dislike naturally. His culture, his community, looked on the people of Nineveh as being evil, as being their enemies. And the last person you want to approach as a neighbor is a person who is a threat to you, to our way of life in any way. Jonah, we see reluctance throughout Scripture, Moses in his call says, oh, God, I cannot speak well. I'm not the one to do this, to deliver your people from Egypt. And we can remember even the prophet Isaiah, who says, I'm too young, Lord, to go and to proclaim judgment upon your people. But Jonah not only speaks his reluctance, but he acts on it. He's sort of this bold character, and that's what attracts me to Jonah, I think, as one of the prophets, is that he is a messenger of God's love by what he does and what he doesn't do. Instead of just speaking his disfavor to what God has asked him to do, Jonah goes and jumps on a ship, that is going in the opposite direction from Nineveh. Now, that is a bold move on his part, thinking that you can run away from God by jumping on a ship, and I imagine we all do it symbolically in one way or the other when we know what is right according to God's requirement but don't want to do it. But Jonah shows us that jumping on a ship, the storm comes up at sea, the sailors naturally gravitate to Jonah as being the cause of the turbulence in nature and throw him overboard, and that's when he's swallowed by the great fish. And what does God do? But God comes back to Jonah in the belly of that fish, where Jonah has no distractions, but God has Jonah's full attention and tells Jonah, you're still going to Nineveh. You can jump on a ship, you can go as far away as you can, but I'm still going to get you to Nineveh to fulfill my purpose, which is a saving purpose out of love for the people of Nineveh, as evil as they may seem to be. And so very graphically, the fish spits Jonah up onto dry land, and Jonah goes and delivers the message, the proclamation of God's saving love, and miraculously, all the people of Nineveh, 100,000, turn to the Lord. And Jonah, frustrated, angry at what God had made him to do, sulked. Because now he had to accept these people that he disliked culturally, socially, would not accept as neighbors. He had to accept them under God's shepherding promise as his neighbors. And God asked him to love them. Now, that's the reluctant prophet, Jonah. And so if you chose Jonah as being the reluctant neighbor, you chose well. Because we go to the parable of the Good Samaritan, and Jesus has quite a different bend and different intention there. Because we use that Good Samaritan parable, to display how God requires us to practice neighboring among one another. And so we look to that and know that in spite of our reluctance, there's something that's going to draw us. There's something that's going to draw us into being neighbors with one another. I wasn't reluctant about coming here to preach among you today because I consider all of you my friends. And yet there's a little, as Reverend Africa Jeremy has said, there's always some reluctance when God asks us to do something different and something new. And some of you might have said, if you know me, would have said, oh my goodness, Wally took a wrong turn this morning and is at this Presbyterian's at the wrong church. Well, inspired by the Holy Spirit, there are others of you I know who would respond and saying, no, guided by the Holy Spirit, Wally finally took the correct turn and came to us. So you see, God uses that sense of reluctance and spirit sometimes to guide and direct us and to bring us into fellowship and friendship of community with one another. The interesting thing about the parable of the Good Samaritan is that the Samaritan is the least likely of those that we would expect to respond to the neighbor in need. Two others are reluctant and follow their reluctance. They pass by without stopping to aid or assist the victim of the robbery. But it is the Samaritan who is under no cultural or social obligation who stops. And so the question to me becomes, when we try to decide who is the reluctant neighbor and who is the neighbor who is willing and steps out and is bold enough to administer the message of Christ's love to another. It is the spirit, I believe, of mercy and compassion, as the parable of the Good Samaritan proclaims. What overcomes our reluctance to know one another, to share with one another, to practice love to one another, is the awareness that God speaks through mercy, our mercy and compassion in our hearts, to reach out beyond our reluctance to fulfill God's requirement to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly, putting others before self. You as a congregation, as a community of faith, are very consistent and very strong in that message and in that proclamation. As I look at your faces, as I look at this beautiful sanctuary, a symbol of faith, a symbol of giving glory to God, but also with windows that shout out into the world, we are the light of the world. I know that we are too at home. We are as giving as we allow God to call us to be. We listen for God's voice. And isn't it with mercy and compassion that we find that empathy that it makes us bold enough to reach out beyond our personal comfort level? We are indeed the people of God. I was watching the news this morning. I try to get just a glimpse of the news. I avoid it a lot during the week. But the news this morning, on Sunday morning, as I come into worship, is important to me because I kind of want to be sure that I'm on track with what is going on in the world, that what impacts and affects us. And there was one picture, and some of you may have seen it, that was posted this morning from a person in Florida who took a picture of a beautiful rainbow arching over the ocean. And the coast is one of my meditative special places in God's creation and world. And at the edges of that rainbow, lightning is striking in that video segment. You see bolts of lightning as if they're trying to attack that rainbow. The rainbow, a symbol of hope and promise, and yet the world is real. And we know that there are those charges, those lightning bolts, that tend to want to invade that harmony of who God calls us to be as neighbors to one another. The miracle of that image for me was that the rainbow did not diminish. In fact, it seemed to me, even on the video, to become even more pronounced in its colors, in its beauty, in its formation, because of the lightning in the background, which could not distract the hope and love of who God is to us. The psalmist proclaims that God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Who is the reluctant neighbor? The one who somehow creates barriers to God's love flowing through him or her to change the life of another. Jonah changed thousands of lives. We change perhaps one or two or three by who we are and what we proclaim and how we live. What does the Lord require? It is to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk with humility before God, putting others before self. Thank you. We enter into Neighboring Week as a reminder of who we are called to be as children of God and as neighbors to one another. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Let us pray with one another. Loving God, as we step into this week in our community, we enter into a time of being very intentional in how we live as neighbors. And Lord, for some of us, or many of us, we think of neighbors that we appreciate or even cherish. Some we have welcomed into our home, some we have welcomed into our lives as family. And we give you thanks. And yet, Lord, as we walk into this week, perhaps for some, if not many of us, we're reminded of that place of reluctance that we hold for some. Perhaps it is a next-door neighbor for which there's been a misunderstanding and which we've allowed to get in the way. Or perhaps it's our neighbor more in the figurative sense. Who in these times and in these days might seem to be a threat to us, to our being, to our understandings or our beliefs. And yet, O Lord, we see in Jonah, and we see in the parable of the Good Samaritan, how you can speak into those areas of reluctance. And how your mercy and kindness show up in those places. So, Lord, as we enter into this week of neighboring week, we pray your blessings upon our congregation. We pray your blessings upon our brothers and sisters and neighbors at Memorial Presbyterian Church. We pray for your blessings upon our neighbors here in Midland and in the county. Lord, that you might shine among us, in our nation, and in the world. All this we pray in the name of Jesus, who has taught us to be good neighbors, praying the prayer he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Brothers and sisters, I invite you to stand as we end our service today singing the song For the Cause.
For the King, once lifted high to Christ's offering.
nation through the sun.
Friends, this week is a reminder of how good it is when we are part of something bigger than ourselves, something our world needs more and more of every day. And we had a reminder this morning, welcoming Tony and welcoming Bo and welcoming Peter into a family bigger than even their own. And if we need any reminder, we just have to look in the front pews here in the church to see them surrounded by family, perhaps by friends, and to know that life is better when we do it together. And indeed, Dr. Mayton reminded us this morning by his message and his presence that we too are better when we are together. And so in your homes and in your hearts, may we be good neighbors. Amen. Amen. Amen.